Thank you, choir. We then move to our second scripture reading. I'd invite you, you'll find it in your Bible that you brought with you or your pew Bible or on the screens. We're turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And in this story, I suspect one that you have heard before, we will turn and ask that we might see this day a revelation of the Christ who we find at the center of this story. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we, like that crowd that day, gather in this place, seeking to hear a word, hoping that we might even see transformation in that word. Meet us, renew us. Might we even this day be surprised by your strength and work in us. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it won't surprise you that this text, of course, is a popular one, a well-known text. And on top of it, it is a favorite among preachers. And it's simple to see why. It is an incredible story, just bursting with details, each and every one of them that come together in this amazing story. You have Jesus in this house that is overflowing, and we can intuitively imagine it. We've all been in a place that was standing room only. We've been pressed in by bodies. You know that feeling of people around you, that sense that the room is starting to get a little warm. You start to smell more of your neighbor than you wanted, right? You can imagine the windows of this house are flung open and people are craning their necks from the outside. They're just trying to get a glimpse of this teacher who's been spoken throughout the entire region. We can imagine these friends. They're doing the best they can. They haul their friend on a mat. He can't carry himself. They're tired. And they get there and realize there is no way in that door. We cannot get him there. And we can imagine every one of us has one of those friends who's crazy enough to say, "Let's haul him through the roof." Or maybe that friend is you. And that's okay if it would be. By the way, note that Luke doesn't tell us what the paralyzed man was thinking. So did he think that was a good idea? Who knows? But we can imagine being inside that house. It's dark and maybe even a little musty. And then you can imagine the light beams, right? At first, it's small as they start jostling the tiles. And then you can see the light cutting down into the room. And your eyes have to adjust because you're used to the darkness. And now you see this light. And now, wait, is that a bed descending from the ceiling? Right? We can imagine the surprise. And then we can sit there and we can we can see these teachers thinking this thing. And then Jesus literally tells them, can you imagine the embarrassment and the shock on their faces? This story is so visual. It's so inspiring. It's easy to find ourselves in this place. And it's so easy to imagine that we could see that man's face. He encounters Jesus, a paralyzed man. He can't walk. And suddenly, in but a word, a surprising word, he didn't expect the forgiveness of sins bit, but who cares? He can stand up. He can walk out of the room. This beautiful story, it inspires us and it calls us back into this very place. And so it's an odd story for the pastors to include in the series that we've called The Problem with Jesus. Because who here would have a problem with the one who heals us? Yet alone, who here would have a problem with Jesus who forgives us? Isn't that, after all, the entire point of this faith that we have? Isn't that the thing that we go to share with people at the very start? That Jesus Christ forgives. How could there be any problem in this story? Except with maybe those Pharisees. You see, the problem actually starts a few paragraphs before this one, in the previous chapter. Remember that this story comes from Luke chapter 5. It's at the very beginning of Luke's telling of Jesus' life. In chapter 4, Jesus went into the wilderness where he was tempted. Then he went back to his home church, and Clint just preached on this. You remember the time he made his home church so angry they tried to throw him off a cliff? Then immediately following that, Jesus goes and he heals a man with leprosy. And so word begins to spread throughout the entire region. There is a preacher who is healing people, which leads us to the text today. Apparently, someone talked to somebody who talked to somebody, and that got to this man who has always been unable to walk. He's paralyzed. And he, with his friends, decides that they're going to go to see this teacher to see if he might get healed. We might miss, because we're people of faith and we've heard this story over and over, Luke is trying to tell us Jesus is becoming a big deal. He's already being known in the community. He's a bit of a celebrity. He is healing people. And we don't really need to stretch or imagine how big of a deal that is. I just got in the mail somewhat recently an advertisement, and it made me smile. It was an advertisement for some kind of health supplement, and it was amazing because if you read the description of this particular supplement, you couldn't read any of it. It was all like four-syllable long words, and none of them made sense because, you know, the longer the word, the more scientific it is. Thumbs up. And then as you kept going through this whole thing, you know, it had all these testimonials that were broad enough to say that this supplement could fix all of my health maladies, but none of the testimonials actually were specific enough to say what it would do, so nobody could get in trouble. It was perfect. And I thought, someone is probably going to buy this thing. Maybe they're that sick. Maybe it's been that hard of a journey. Maybe there's no other place to turn to buy this thing. Maybe they've tried all the things that modern medicine has to give them and they feel like this is their last option. Or maybe they thought, what could it hurt? Friends, that is likely what this man thought. What could it hurt? What's the worst thing that could happen? If I go to this teacher, maybe I could walk again. Though I suspect he didn't anticipate being lowered down from the roof. Can you imagine what it would be like when they open up those tiles and they begin lowering him down? I think that totally depends upon whether you're the owner of the house, right? Because either this is a spectacular display of faith or a very annoying form of vandalism. After all, don't these guys know how hard it is to get a roofing company these days? Jesus, though, is moved by their faith. And biblical scholars go out of their way. I need to make sure to share with you that in verse 20, Jesus is moved by their faith, plural, not his faith, not just the paralyzed man on the cot, though indeed he had a lot of faith in the people holding the rope. But in their faith, this whole crew, the man on the mat and his friends, this is not fundamentally a story about Jesus and me. This is a story about Jesus and we. It is about our faith. So I encourage you, take this passage home, look at this closer this week, particularly pay special attention to what Luke tells us about the paralyzed man. Spoiler, he doesn't say much. We don't know much about him. We know very little other than the fact that he's the guy who his friends lowered through the roof of the house. We aren't even told if he approves of that plan. And maybe he never had a doubt, or maybe when he felt his cot lurch over the edge and he felt his friends buckle to hold the rope, maybe he had a moment of doubt. We all might. But the truth is, regardless of what he thought, he trusted. And Jesus saw that trust, both in the trust of those who would hold the rope and the trust of the one at whose feet he was lowered. And suddenly, everything changed. Friends, anybody who's been part of church for any period of time knows what it's like to bring someone else to Jesus. That's what we do every Sunday when we offer up the prayers of the people. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ with praise and with petition. When we get to the end of ourselves, when we run out of the meals that we can deliver, when we don't have any more cards that we can write, when the flowers are done and we've sent all that we can send, when there's nothing left to do but to bring our friend to Jesus. Church, sometimes we forget that. That like the paralyzed man's friend, a great deal of our Christian responsibility is to be willing to pry open the shingles of heaven in prayer so that we might present our brother and sister in Christ to Jesus for healing and restoration. Because healing is messy, church family kind of work. And sometimes, despite our Midwest stubbornness, we actually can't stand up on our own. We physically can't stand up on the weight of our own bodies after that fall. Or we can't mentally take another day of anxiety or pain. We can't physically break that addiction that has its hold on us. Or we can't spiritually let go of the things that grieve us. Sometimes like that man who is on the cot as it swings out into the hole in the roof, the only thing standing between us and a long fall and a soft landing at the feet of Jesus are the brothers and sisters holding the rope. Friends, faith isn't rocket science. If you're strong today, we can ask God to help give us the strength to hold another. And if we're weak today, we can ask God for the strength to let others carry us to the feet of the healer. Well, of course, we all know that while faith may not be difficult to understand, it is exceedingly difficult to do. Because we might have forgotten all of the other people who were at Jesus' feet that day. And boy, was it a big deal. Was it a show? It was the who's who. Luke goes out of his way. You might notice that he says it's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and not just the people from the local synagogue. No, all of them from Galilee and Judea and yes, even Jerusalem. That's right. The professional league, best of the best. They traveled those long and dusty roads so that they could see this Jesus character in action. And it's obvious that Jesus knows that they're there. And there must have been amongst the disciples some excitement. Oh, do you see who showed up here today? Guess what word is going to be said in Jerusalem? Maybe we make the Jerusalem Times. You know, Jesus must have felt that pressure that comes when the important people are in the room. And I can't say that I can certainly relate to that experience, but not that long ago, I had the privilege of getting to do a wedding for my sister-in-law. And my brother-in-law, my new brother-in-law, he is a pastor. And one of the people standing is also a pastor. And all of this pastor's friends came to the wedding. So this was a wedding full of pastors. So me trying to, you know, find words to say at the wedding is kind of looking around thinking like, dude, don't screw it up. Don't say something stupid because they're all listening. These weren't people from Jerusalem. These weren't the who's who. And that's exactly who Jesus has in the room. So surely the disciples think, Jesus, hold it together. Some nice teaching would be good today. A little bit of grace, maybe a little bit of follow the law. Let's get a good impression out there, Jesus. And Jesus has no interest in publicity. Any of you have siblings? Someone who knows your buttons? When someone who loves you and knows your button, when they come to push your button, they don't just push it. They smash the button, right? Jesus knew who was in the room. He knew the Pharisees' button. He knew what would set off the teachers of the law. And that's exactly what he does. As this man lays before him and seeks healing, Jesus says the one thing that the Pharisees would be set off by. He says that he will forgive his sins. Jesus knows the Pharisees are there to judge him. They're there to ask, is his teaching up to snuff? Is he teaching the shoulds correctly? The problem with Jesus is that when we come to him for healing, instead, he forgives our sins. When we come to him with our long list of shoulds and should nots, he comes to us with his unmerited and unasked for grace. When we try to go it alone, to be strong for others, then Jesus heals us, but after seeing the faith of the ones holding the ropes. You see, maybe the reason that this story is so amazing is because it always surprises us. Every single character. Yeah, imagine the face of that paralyzed man when he heard his sins were forgiven, and yet he could stand up and walk. Imagine that collective gasp in the room as the onlookers watched a man's legs gain strength and as he carried the mat out that he had been laid on. Imagine the friends on the roof whooping with joy at Jesus's power. Imagine the seething rage of the Pharisees as Jesus embarrasses them in front of their very congregations. Let me remind you, a paralyzed man did not go to Jesus that day hoping to have his sins forgiven. That was a shock to everyone, even him. And Luke ends this text, and it says it this way, the crowd was filled with awe, and this is what they said, we have seen remarkable things today. That word remarkable, the original word in the Greek actually comes from what our word is now paradox. So a literal translation of that would be, we have seen paradoxical things today. Friends, the problem with Jesus, or more rightly, our problem with Jesus, is that because he is Lord, we are not. He breaks the rules when we want order. He commands with authority when we just want validation. He heals us, but he also forgives our sins. See, the unsuspecting crowd that day no doubt hoped that they would see a miracle. It had happened before. But no one expected that day that Jesus would heal a man's sins. In fact, I can't think of a single person in this story who wasn't radically surprised by Jesus that day. The sick man, his friends wanted Jesus to heal, but then he forgave. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they wanted to evaluate Jesus' teaching, But he told them the exact thoughts of their hearts. It turns out that every true encounter with Jesus will inevitably and radically surprise us. So that leads us to the crux of this story. Faith and every encounter with Jesus is a paradox. But here's the problem. We don't really love paradoxes. We don't love going to McDonald's and asking for a burger and them giving us a milkshake, though we might like a milkshake. When we come to Jesus and we ask for healing, and instead he starts messing with the content of our souls, now we begin to be uncomfortable. But friends, this is the power of God incarnate. He is Lord and we are not. So no matter what brings us to his feet, we will be surprised. I'd invite you this day to consider, if you were to meet with Jesus today, if he is, as we believe, present in our place of worship, how would he surprise you? Because Jesus, we can be confident, would call on us to forgive those who we might be tempted to pray judgment upon. We know that he'll call us away from all of those persistent shoulds in our life to an abundant and everlasting grace. We know that Jesus will call us to put down our dogged insistence that we need to carry our own burdens. And he will remind us of the many people who are called to help us carry our difficulties. My prayer this morning is that all who need healing will find forgiveness, and that all who seek faith will find a Savior. May we too, this morning, encounter the living God, and in doing so, a life-changing paradox. And may we be able to add our voice to the crowd that day. And might we be able to say, we too have seen remarkable things today. Thanks be to God. Amen.